That was one of the greatest finishes in the regular season history of football in the nation's capital. Wow.
That was a maddening, disappointing gut punch until it wasn't. That was a how could you have lost that game given X, Y, Z, P, D, Q, all the letters of the alphabet 17 other times until it wasn't. That was a, gosh, we're going to have some things to unpack here. Has this group been figured out? Did they need another playmaker at receiver when they play good defenses? Until it wasn't. The conversation shifted with a few moments, a little bit of botching by Chicago, but a lot of right for Washington. I still can't believe it. I'm still on cloud nine. I woke up this morning, you know, in that groggy first light kind of state. My wife had to get up super early. She was gone, out the door. I'm going to start my day, get the kids up, and do everything that needs to be done. And I had a little pang where, as my eyes first open, I go, what a bummer of a loss yesterday. And then, I remembered as the clarity got to me, not a loss at all, a win. They're 6-2 because of something miraculous.
There's a euphoria when sports are going good and you're around people who just experience the same joy as you do that can only be explained, I think, if you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Caps made their 2018 run, all of those playoff wins and the dancing in the street and those moments after the Stanley Cup final, I remember kind of taking it to the streets over in the Capital One Arena neighborhood and eventually over to the MGM National Harbor. You just don't want the night to end. You just want to be around people. When the Nats won the World Series in 2019, all over the Navy Yard and all over town, same kind of vibes. It was a scaled back version of that because, let's be honest, it's a 6-2 week 8 regular season, middle of the campaign, mm-hmm. October football moment. But last night at Northwest Stadium, leaving that facility was a moment for me as a sports fan. It was chill inducing. It was as happy as I've seen that fan base and those parking lots in my entire life. The crowd, which was great, I thought, all game. There were a lot of Bears fans there, but it was boisterous. It was loud. There was energy. There was an electricity. It was a vibe inside Northwest Stadium. And at the moment of the Jaden Daniels scramble for 13 seconds, turned Hail Mary prayer downfield, turned batted ball tip up into the air into the waiting arms of Noah Brown for what was basically the easiest completion in the history of the world. I mean, it seemed right?
Yeah.
It's so funny. When those Hail Marys are completed, you go, how does this not happen all the time? He's just standing there with no one around him, and the ball just got batted, and that's the easiest touchdown he'll ever score on the very back end of that play.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that he caught it, Danny, the pop is what I'm going to refer to it as.
Right.
That initial outbreak of eruption of excitement and cheer, that was the loudest I have ever heard that stadium. I've been there for the very few playoff games that have ever been there. I've been there for the only, yes, you heard me right, the only playoff win. I was there in 1999 for the Detroit Lions and the Washington Redskins. The first play of that game was a 7-yard sack of Gus Frerotte by Greg Jones at linebacker. One of the loudest moments in that stadium's history. There have been other great moments.
Yep.
There have been loud moments. I'm not telling you there haven't been. But Danny, that was as loud as I have ever heard it, and they've ripped 20-plus thousand seats out of that place. The pop, like the music hitting
insanity
of a Royal Rumble, that psh, stone cold shattered glass on Raw back in 1999, and that initial electricity, I've never seen anything quite like it in that stadium.
Yeah, you got to harken back to some of the best moments, whether it's beating Dallas 35-7 and Chris Cooley rumbling through the secondary, and they show Bill Parcells giving a mean mug to one of his defenders that made a business decision, or to Terry Glenn when he wouldn't go over the middle because Sean Taylor was a predator, a pterodactyl swooping and just taking heads off at that point. There have been great moments, certainly. Few and far between, as you alluded to.
I think, though, like with all these moments we could point out, because those are some really good ones. I remember the Rob Jackson 2012 pick.
That pick to save the world, yeah.
Off Robert Griffin to officially win the division when the Cowboys were going to try to tie the game. All of those moments, you can make the case that the overall intensity in the crowd was bigger, better, whatever. There were more people there, mm-hmm. clearly, more seats. And maybe even if you had like one of these, you know how they measure the noise? You could have like a wand that does
sure,
that.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe they'd say it was louder in that, you know, sustainably. But I mean just the sheer pop.
Yep.
That 2-second clip of ball's in the air and it's pretty silent in the stadium. You're waiting. Ball's coming down. That right there.
Whatever that is.
If there was a roof, it got blown off.
Jet engine. So I'm sitting there at home like everybody else, stewing, so irritated, so annoyed. Honestly, in a bad mood, right? I'm like, they did it to me again. This mood-destroying Sunday. My Monday is going to be ruined. I'm going to be cranky all week at work. Just so ticked off at every errand I have to run now. Man, that one's going to sting. I hate losses like that. I got all my snarky tweets queued up. I can't explain the noise I made. If you said recreate it, I probably couldn't. I saw stars. I scream in this way that, like, I wouldn't scream. Like, I'm terrified of snakes beyond compare. I'm Indiana Jones without the charisma, right? I'm so afraid of them. If I saw a snake in my bed, I wouldn't scream like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that noise was. And I made it several times. And then I started maniacally laughing. Like I was the Joker and my caper had come to fruition. Like, I don't understand the reaction that's happening in my body. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm jumping, but I'm in some sort of like weird fetal position, tucking around. My 11-year-old is jumping on me. He didn't really care, but he cared in that moment. My wife is like screaming, "What?" Like, she's like, "Are there any penalties?" I'm like, "Not now." I mean, unbelievable, right? I mean, I can't get enough of the videos. Like, when something like that happens. Like, I remember certain just elements at the top of my mind. When Landon Donovan scored in the World Cup and everyone kept sharing those memes or their reaction videos, or the Nationals won the World Series, or, you know, the moment that the puck dropped, the game ends against Vegas and the Caps clinch the Stanley Cup. I can't get enough watching those videos. I've seen 1,000 of those over the last 24 hours, right? And I didn't make one of myself just because I'm sitting there watching and I got my phone out to be snarky. And that was the end of it.
Yeah,
just they ripped it away.
Here's what I don't like, generally. I think that when someone records themselves for a last play and they're on camera, obviously and purposefully, it feels like it's turned up and it's not authentic, right? But when you get an authentic reaction video, it's the best thing in the world. So these are... Hey, my Ring camera picked this up. Hey, we've got this camera in my house. You don't think about it in the moment, and it just happens to record you, what you're doing, right?
You're not performing.
I could not stop watching those last night. I can't tell you how many I got, by the way. People mostly sending them. You can hit me up on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson, on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. But I was getting them all until 2, 3 in the morning last night, where people were just like, oh, yeah, we have a camera in that room. Let me see what it looked like. Everything from a giant party of people outside, look like multi-rooms of a house where everyone's giddy and picking up their kids and hugging and kissing them. There was a couple, this guy sent me on Instagram, him and his wife are in a house with a sleeping baby. These are always the best.
Yeah.
And they jump out of the couch and they're like scream whispering. You know, they're like, I can't believe it. And she's like, how did this happen? And their hands are on their head, but the baby's right above them. And if you have a baby, you know.
Oh, you know.
The only thing more important than the emotions you're feeling, than the juices flowing through your body right then, is making sure that baby don't wake up. Because that's a night ruiner.
Yeah.
That might be a day ruiner tomorrow.
Oh, I was going to say, that's not a temporary one. That's now you're offset for the week.
Have you seen Toby's reaction?
Yeah.
So this was great. So they were on camera doing a live show on 106.7 The Fan, he and Linnell. And Wholesome Tobes just screaming, oh my gosh, over and over again. Just losing his absolute mind on camera was pretty funny.
Oh my God!
Oh! No way! No way!
You've got to be kidding me! Holy cow! You can't be serious.
My favorite thing about this, other than just giddy Toby, is this is radio.
Yeah.
There has been no acknowledgement that there was a touchdown scored. So someone, I guess you're driving around. Now, if you really care that much about the game, maybe you're doing something else and you just want to have that as second viewing with him and Linnell. But just, I guess you're assuming with the screaming.
Right, with the positive, like something positive happened there.
Right, but there's no.
It's probably bigger than just a flag at the one.
Right,
yeah.
Like, think about from a play-by-play perspective, and they're not allowed to do play-by-play, right. Obviously, on this station. But it's just so funny that they're just silence for several seconds. Linnell's laying on the ground for some reason. I don't know where he went. He started yelling and then laid on the ground and then got up and told people to meet him in Largo. But the whole reaction was perfect, and I'm so glad it was on camera. everybody goes from having your heart broken by the Bears getting into the end zone. Because you also had that glimmer of hope, that little voice in the back of your head that has been right all season going, maybe they won't let him in the end zone. Maybe they'll get a turnover. Yeah, stupid voice. They're at the goal line. They're about to score. They're going to take the lead. Maybe they'll fumble. Maybe they'll give it to their fat lineman from the one-yard line for some reason who's an up back. And then they do, and then they fumble, and then you get the ball, and you have another chance. And time again, this offense, which actually put up numbers, they moved the football, they amassed yards, they got into the red zone, Danny. They had chances to put the game on ice over and over
a million times.
And over and over again, and they just consistently didn't do it. And the defense was asked to bail them out time and time and time and time again. And oddly, in this 2024 season where the offense has been spectacular and the defense has not been that at all, they kept doing it. And then finally the Bears score and you go, I knew it.
Yeah, like you just, they both deserved, it's such a weird word, they both should have absolutely won that game. 100% should have won that game. Like, there's no question they deserve to win the game. They also deserve to lose that game with some of the, with, again, the bizarre, like, we can't get the play in, or I'm not sure what formation this is.
Well, I'll
or,
say this, though. They were the better team in the game.
Yeah.
Like, categorically. And I don't just mean anecdotally, I mean statistically.
It backs that up, 100%.
You look at who should win the game a meter with all the numbers put into the computer algorithm, they win that game at a 70-some percent clip.
100%.
But it's also the game over the years that they lose because they, as you said, they're burning timeouts that they're going to need. That ended up hurting them, by the way, on the final drive. They, you know, they can't.
Austin Seibert kicked the ground so hard. Why is he mad at the ground?
What do you mean he kicked the ground?
He kicked the ground before he kicked the field goal. Before the ball touched the foot, he kicked the ground in front of the ball.
On which one? The blocked kick?
Yeah. I don't even know if it was blocked. Watch the video of it. He kicks the ground super hard in front of the football. And the guy celebrates like he blocked it. He just chunked it. Imagine hitting the fairway.
It's right next to his fingertip.
Yeah.
So even going back and rewatching it today, I just rewatched the condensed game. I assumed it hit his fingertip.
So
that's a clean miss without a block.
Yeah, imagine, that's at least what they said on the telecast. I mean, imagine you're hitting a golf ball on the fairway.
Yeah, and you hit ground.
And you just miss 2 inches in front of the ball, and it goes 9 feet.
So I've been calling it a block kick, but miss kick, let's say.
Yeah, botch, for sure.
So you leave those 3 points on the field. 50-plus yards. I mean, it's not a gimme, but you still, that in this league
right
now. I'd like
to see it go up there.
51, you got to hit that. And they had a touchdown called back, lest we forget. The Alameda Zacchaeus catch and run, which was a beautiful play. On a illegal man, which I thought Cosme was absolutely downfield. Then you have a PI, which needed to be called because St. Just interfered.
100%.
I mean, it was one after another. They're making these mistakes. So even though they were the better team, even though Caleb Williams, I thought, stunk on ice for three quarters, when it got to winning time, Caleb Williams made some winning plays.
Really impressive.
He started doing some legit big boy stuff in the fourth quarter, but not big enough boy stuff.
Not pretty big.
Not as big as our big boy. Our big boy did some bigger things. 52 yards. Danny, he ran around for 13 seconds and didn't even really have to throw it when he threw it. I mean, it's kind of like getting engaged when you've dated for a bunch of years. It's kind of like going to college after high school. You're just supposed to do it. So he decided to throw it. But if you notice, there's not someone about to hit him. He could have reset and gone back to the other side.
Yeah, the one guy pursuing him, Nick Allegretti, took him into Cleveland. I mean,
a couple of those dudes are laying on the ground because they've been pancaked.
They're tired.
And the other ones have just, it's like a hockey shift at the end of the shift where you're just standing on your edges, you know? You're just kind of out there with your stick, moving it around a little bit.
They haven't been able to change, Joel B.
He's just going left to right to left. It would have been funny if he just, how long could you keep doing? He could still be doing it right now.
If he felt like it.
And like, we're just waiting. We're on air live now, and we're doing the reaction, the Toby and the Linnell reaction to his throw. But 13 seconds felt like an eternity. Everyone's, I don't know what you were saying, but I'm going, throw it, dude. Throw it. And it was perfect. Goal line. It's a 500 scrum in your backyard. Who's going to come down with it? And they designed the diamond formation down there where you've got front man, back man, two on the edges, and everything kind of comes to fruition beautifully. Especially helpful that the Bears decided, at least in part, to care more about the crowd than the play. That was also helpful.
Wasn't that delightful? And it's not lost on me. So I said this to my wife. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if the guy that Terry McLaurin was drawing with, now Terry gets up after a big catch and is barking at this dude. I don't think he liked something about that play, whether it was a hit he thought was maybe a cheap shot or
something.
You see
what he did?
I didn't see exactly,
McLaurin's kind of back, like butts basically on the ground, kind of back to Stevenson, who comes flying in and pops him right in the middle of the back. I mean, it was not a good-looking play. You can make the case he was still alive in Stevenson's mind when he launches, but it's still not a clean, like good-looking play in the sense of if you're looking at this as a fraternity where we're all in this thing together, I got to get you on the ground, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. McLaurin did not like that hit. He thought it was
he didn't like it at all. So there was some chirping, and that guy, you know, is in multiple people's faces, and everybody. And I decided I don't like you anymore. I didn't know much about Tyreek Stevenson beforehand, but now I'm going. You're on my list.
Don't forget Terry seen in 5K, highest definition ever, telling him
you are no
in. I will quote this. You ain't S.
Oh, you ain't. Right. And you are.
And that was certainly confirmed on the Hail Mary.
Yeah, they got it a couple times. And so I'm like, wouldn't it be great if that was the guy whose fault it was? I'm not even kidding. I didn't know. Then the video starts circulating where he's doing like a Degeneration X going, you know, type promo to like fans. I don't know who he's yelling at or what. He's telling them to pipe down.
Well, Noah Bears, Brown is 15 yards downfield. Yeah. He's been running for 2 seconds. And Tyreek Stevenson's going, no cigar for you in the parking lot today, tailgate Ted. Yeah, tailgate Ted. No cigar for you. Where's Rally Captain? Where is he? Noah Brown's just running down the field.
He's running by. And so then, of course, he's the guy that comes swooping over as the ball's in the air. It touches his stupid hand. And that stupid clown shoe loser, that absolute chotch, that dude who should be on the unemployment line today, if I were in charge, that's the guy whose fault it is. Perfect. Just perfect. Please, please enjoy that silent plane ride home. Please suck on that disappointment for a while.
When breaking down the play today, the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus, who, by the way, is not a particularly good head coach.
Yeah, not a clinic from him either.
That is a terribly coached team.
Yeah.
What a waste of talent they are.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, a cavalry of decent backs. Now, they didn't hand it to at the goal line. They were busy handing it to an offensive lineman. What a joke that decision and just some of the things they did throughout the game. That performance they had, that dud, was off of a bye.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. A bye. They had 2 weeks to prepare for that one.
Yep.
But Matt Eberflus, who will be the coach of the Bears probably for another couple of months, and then they'll try to pry Ben Johnson out of Detroit or whoever they'll go get to pair an offensive mind with Caleb Williams. Eberflus said Tyreek Stevenson was expected to box out Noah Brown on the Hail Mary. His job is to park in front of him and make sure that if there's a deflection, he can't grab the rebound. But it's hard to do that.
How'd that go?
When you're yelling at our callers. When you're talking S with our listeners who are sitting in section 214.
Yeah. Hard to live up your responsibilities there.
That's a Hall of Fame embarrassing. You don't come back from that moment. He's actually a good player, by the way. I don't know how much of a file people have. I've heard a lot of people saying today that they should cut him. You can't cut him. He's very good. I don't know what you do, but he gets punished. Something happens.
It would be severe if old Randy Duguay was in charge.